Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to continue on talking about the convention, the argument against the convention of states. I know I've talked quite a bit about it so far this year, and that's just because it's the season for the reason, and it's, you know, unlike the reason for the season. Because one should be reasoning what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I believe that if you come up with a plan and you exercise that plan and you seem to have some level of success, so you just stick to that plan, then I believe you've baked yourself into a box and you become immovable. And I've actually dealt with people just this past weekend that are literally immovable. And I say, and it's sad and it's pathetic that people, if you go to business school, if you go to marketing, if you're involved in business at all, if you have a business, you have to understand, you have to start embracing this concept of constant innovation. You have to improve your argument. You have to look and constantly challenge what and why you are doing. Clearly, there's ultimate goals and so forth. And so we're going to get into that some more. We're going to cover and try to take, again, going around the woodshed takes a while to take a look at all four sides and each side from different perspectives. So that's kind of why you walk around the woodshed. Most people have a connotation that you're taking somebody around the woodshed to give them a butt whooping, but no, it's to help open their eyes so that they can see that that the problem may be a lot different, the way they're approaching it and the magnitude of the problem. I mean, there are reasons why we want to expand our view of the issue, and in this case, I just used the metaphor of the woodshed. So anyway, We did have a rough week last week. We only actually got three shows done just due to the fact that Comcast pulled a quick one on us. Supposedly our router failed. It seemed like it was working, but I truly believe that Comcast actually sent out a driver update. And how do I know that? Because when they brought in this brand new router, the first thing it had to do was it had to get an update. And so I'm going, well, that should have already had all of its current updates. It shouldn't have needed an update unless there was one out there that they just pushed out, because they try to make these things, you know, very compatible and versions and so forth. And it's suspect. It's not that it's pure evidence that they're guilty of breaking my old router with a firmware update, but it does say one thing. The router was working just fine. I actually rebooted it the day before, because we do that regularly just to kind of clean up any IPs and any history and so forth, just to make sure we can make our connections to the Red State Talk Radio server. So anyway, we actually lost the router the day after we rebooted it. And I'm going, it's one thing that you lose the hardware after you power cycle it. Nine times out of ten, it never just goes out on its own. It's very, very rare. So to me, there's enough suspicion to say, I think Comcast broke me. They came out. And oh, by the way, as I was trying to get this router fixed in a timely manner, I was being put off. Oh, well, we'll get to it tomorrow. And I go, well, who's going to take care of, you know, the work I've got to get done? You know, you're putting me in a lurch. And, oh, we understand. And so, but they said, the soonest we can get you in is tomorrow. You're going to love this. And so as I, you know, said, seriously, you can't get anybody out here faster. And so they said, no, that's it. We're all booked. Then I said, okay, well, I would like your phone number for the local tech support because obviously I'm talking to somebody in a different country using using what would be recognizable as English with a heavy accent. Anyway, as I asked, well, so give me the phone number. Oh, well, we don't have it. And I said, I find it hard to fathom that a corporation that has, you know, businesses and offices all over the world like you, that you guys don't have a corporate directory. This is unfathomable. There's no corporate directory? Because I worked at a global company, and if we had a corporate directory, we'd get to anybody and everybody within the company. This is unconscionable. And as soon as I said that, guess what? Lo and behold, they had an availability in just a few minutes that somebody was going to be able to come out. And I go, oh, so all of a sudden somebody's free. Yeah, there must have been a cancellation or something. And I go, okay. So when the guy got here, nice guy and good, knew what he was doing. I asked him, somebody had to cancel. He goes, he looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I go, well, you got called out to this job. I was under the impression that you were working on a different job. And that job got canceled. He goes, no, I was just sitting around. So just so you know, they don't want to. They want to push you into scheduled, and they want to have these guys, and this is how it was explained, they try to have a few guys sitting around to do ad hoc work for emergencies or what have you. And apparently, customers' emergencies to Comcast is not important. Interesting, isn't it? Anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as you know what, because we tell you, ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. This is the only show that goes through the academic evidence. We actually try to bring in at all the evidence. What we want is, we don't want to give you just one side. That's one of the reasons why we do cover some of the anti-federalist debates, because I think some of them are insightful. But you got to understand that the anti-federalists lost the debate. Everything that they basically said fell flat and had no, you know, validity. It was rejected. And this is why I believe that there should be two forms of the ratification debates. One form of the ratification debates with strictly the Federalists, so you understand everything you're reading is what is being bought into, legally being bought into this compact. And then on the other side, having both so that you can actually see the dialogue of why this testimony came up and how it was framed by the anti-Federalists and what they were saying and so forth. Because sometimes when you only listen to one side of the argument, like you're listening to your kid, wife, or friend, and they're having a good heated debate, and you're going, wow, what is the other person saying? Because sometimes it's insightful, but it's not legal. And you have to understand that. What the Federalists were saying is legal. What the anti-Federalists were saying was not considered legally binding. So it is irrelevant. I mean, it would be superfluous and not necessarily admissible in a court of law. Not necessarily. Sometimes it can shine light and so forth. Yeah, I get it. Anyway, we do have a comment line, 425-270-5416. Let me slow down a little bit. 425-270-5416. You can call 24/7. It's not the call to talk line. And Red State Talk Radio, we do have a talk line on live shows and so forth. But I believe that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the West Coast and 6 o'clock in the evening, I mean, I do get it that there's lots of people to tune in. But I do believe that with a one-hour show, even a two-hour show, it would be really hard for somebody to actually make that connection just in time. I mean, having grown up in the talk world underneath Rush Limbaugh and the rest, I understand how difficult it is, one, to get through and to have that comment. But giving you a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week comment line allows you to make the comment and, you know, frame it, articulate it, so you sound intelligent and so forth, right? I mean, we're not here to make fun of anybody. We really want, and I believe everybody, you know, has their paradigms, and not necessarily do all paradigms line up. And as I always say, reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. So the big part is that middle part, equally informed. And I'm not saying that I am the most informed, but I seem to be the only one informed enough to understand the Constitution and the contractual, you know, contract law, the contractual processes of auditing, and how the parties of the compact have all the authority necessary. And this is supported by Madison. This is supported by Jefferson. So anyway, what we want to do is we want to kind of get into the content and the meat that is going to kind of lead us into need-to-know news. We have some need-to-know news. We'll probably venture into the need-to-know news and probably the next, at the end of the show, the next show or what have you. We will get to it, and there's a little stack of need-to-know news. We're going to be doing the marketing. On top of that, I also want to let you know that Red Pill Expo will be held in Rapid City, South Dakota on June 4th, 5th, and 6th. Get your reservations, get your tickets, and get out there. Anyway, what we want to do is, I don't know, maybe I'll talk to Ed and see if I show up out there, if we could possibly do some interviews and what have you, set up a small little booth so that I can get interviews with some of his key guests, so that we might actually be able to give you a little sound bites of just how good this stuff is. But anyway, I'll have to talk to Ed about that. But anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so CPAC, I having attuned in and having talked to people about going and, you know, speaking or what have you, I don't believe CPAC really cares, because again, the goose that lays the golden egg is the problem. Folks, you got to start understanding that those people who don't care about solving the problem, they just, you know, like, stopping the Convention of States is not the problem. The Convention of States is not necessary, but it is not the problem. Federal government overreach, and the whole purpose of the Convention of States is trying to react to federal government overreach. And so and we'll get into that argument, but bottom line, the problem is federal government spending, federal government overreach, all the unconstitutional tyranny coming from the federal government. That's it. And when CPAC wants to really become a part of the solution, then I would say you should you know, actually focus on CPAC. It's a fun party to go to. Everybody feels good because they're with like-minded friends feeling like they're doing great stuff. But nothing there is focused on truly putting the federal government back into the framework, because the federal government's unconstitutionalism, the fact that they're violating the Constitution left and right, is the goose that lays their golden egg. It gives us talking points. I mean, what are we going to talk about when all of a sudden the federal government is in full compliance? What are we going to do? No, well, we have to focus on the states. Then we, you know, focus on the counties. But once all government is in compliance with the Constitution and we're all living in the perfect world of liberty, now what? Well, I guess it becomes boring. Go look at the Bible. Go look at the scriptures, right? Because the only time that there were lots of scriptures is when the people weren't living righteously. There were probably spans of time where there wasn't much written. However, people being what they are and you know, lending to and constantly cycling into, you know, their cycles of sin and so forth, that we have a constant flow of scripture and or admonishments to the people to say, you can't be doing these things. Anyway, I mean, I'm sure that the Lord and the prophets would have been very happy not having anything to do because we were living righteously, right? We wouldn't need all those scriptures. And some of them are necessary, yes. And, you know, newer laws, like when Christ came, that was necessary to give us the new covenant. But come on. We have, you know, the voluminous work, and there's even more out there. As I've stated before, I mean, if it wasn't for King James, we wouldn't even have a canonized Bible. It would just be, you know, left to the whims of those who stand in front of us to say, this is what we're going to read today, because that's how they control the narrative, and they support what they support their own agenda. You know, give us more money or what have you. Anyway, anywho, what we want to do is we want to thank you for tuning in, and we ask that you invite your like-minded friends to actually become a part of the show, become a part of the solution by listening. Anyway, when we actually start looking at the only solution, which is Republic Review, I want you to understand that it will fix over 90% of all our problems. Republic Review will fix out-of-control government spending. It will actually wipe away the debt. And so we've talked about this, but I just want to kind of go over these details. Anybody that wants to challenge or say, how does it wipe out the debt? I'll be happy to go through that. But it will wipe out the debt. It won't wipe out our unfunded liabilities. It wipes out the debt. Okay? Unconstitutional laws and constraints that oppress the states and their enemies. So it's going to wipe out these laws and constraints that actually oppressing the states and their economies. A Republic Review will unleash the state and the national economy to return to a free market, except for those states that wish to continue a quasi-mercantile system. There are states that actually have so many controls over it that they dictate who gets into what and so forth. And in so doing, they basically are implementing a mercantile system, not a free market system. It restores all state land and resources back to the state. So when Republic Review is going through its final stages, all state land and resources are returned back to the state. Only those lands that are identified in the Constitution, which are what, the military bases and needful buildings, that's it. There's no amendment to the Constitution for reservations for trees or endangered species or even people. They can't do that. They have no authority, and it's clear in the ratification debates that that power was not granted or delegated to the federal government. And so what will end up happening, and I will dive into this, it will allow the Native Americans who have been placed into reservations, I'm hoping and praying, because the state has the opportunity to do the right thing here, of hoping and praying. They say, hey, that land is your land now. And, it's no longer under federal regulation. You have the full deeds to it. And the other advantage is that you're now a citizen of this state. And, and I highly recommend states probably create a waiver of taxation, like property taxation, for any of the Indians or Native Americans on these reservations, so that they can develop their land, give them a hiatus, give them a one generation. Let's really look at this to say it wasn't right. It was unconstitutional that the government even did these things, and so we give them the land and give them a pass for a generation, 40 years, whatever, so that they don't pay property tax, and it allows them to, but they pay revenue on their businesses and any, revenue that they make, they have to pay the revenue or some whatever tax on that, but property tax itself should be waived. Actually, I'm a huge advocate that property tax be waived on people that have limited resources once they've reached age 70. I think it's immoral and wrong that a state, even though this person has paid off their mortgage, okay, so that's another qualifier. If you've paid off your mortgage and you don't have the resources, the state should not be taxing you out of your home. Because as you grow older, it's not like your retirement is going to increase as the cost of living increases. States should be doing everything they can to protect and preserve a person's properties and their rights. Anyway, it frees our education system from social engineering and would make America once again the brightest and most innovative nation in the world. Republic Review restores our health care to local and state controls if the state possesses the delegated authority to have those controls. See, the problem is there are states out there where they've never amended their constitution because federal mandates, all the way back to Eisenhower, when they created the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, they started mandating that states create these offices and or agencies and what have you. And so, and we'll get into that down the road, but bottom line is that it will actually restore health care to what we would consider a true competitive basis, where there shouldn't be any controls where insurance can't actually compete across state lines. We want to have a very competitive and a service-oriented. As a matter of fact, there was never a time in America when you walked in and you wanted to have, you had to have your baby, like in the 60s. You could have your baby. You didn't, and they billed you for it. But that comes with liberty, right? So remember I said liberty comes with responsibility and accountability. Okay, you need to use services, then you need to be able to pay that debt. And most of these healthcare or hospitals and clinics back in the 60s and before, who ran them? They were either community or they were ran by churches. So they weren't profit-based at all. I mean, the only profits, if you want to call it profits, went to labor, operations, and so forth. It didn't go to fat CEOs and let's just say, because if you look at the insurance companies, I mean, there's all sorts of investors that are making money off of insurance companies for overcharging for health care. Get that crap out. Get rid of that stuff, because that's what that and a lot of other laws helps raise the cost of our health care. It frees Republic Review frees small businesses to become the primary engine to our economy. It gives, again, this sense of what we can do and what we can't do goes away to say, I believe I can do that. Now, states do have delegated powers, and we'll dive into that. It frees people from dependencies on the state, bottom line. And unless people of that state have delegated these types of powers to create a welfare state or a social engineering state, then you can actually have a free state again. Now, there are states, again, that do have constitutional amendments and powers within their constitution to do some of this crap. And so you see states are constitutional republics as well. And so with that, we need to actually examine these state constitutions, but we'll get into that right after these promos. And so we're working our way into the Convention of States and the arguments and so forth, but we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we have two more segments. So let's dive into this. You see, states are constitutional republics as well. And most of the powers exercised by the states today are from federal mandates. There's no evidence that the states ever amended their constitution to create offices, agencies, or departments for energy, environmental, transportation, and so forth, because these were mandates from the federal government as they usurped the constitution and the state's powers. They said, now you have to interface with us to do these things. And they may not have used a deep voice. It could have been, you know, a woman stating these things. But anyway, the whole point of the matter is that what we're trying to point out is that you have to go through your constitution with a fine-tooth comb. And so what you will find is you're going to find these types of problems. And so consequently, there'll need to be basically like a republic review or audit process of the constitution. But even more importantly, as you're going through your constitution with a fine-tooth comb, it is my suggestion that the county supervisors, commissioners, parish supervisors, committee, whatever you call them, I believe they need to call for a constitutional convention for the state. And I believe that they need to address some really important matters to make the state more, quote-unquote, constitutional and Republican in form. If you look at the state representation, representation should not be strewn across county lines. Counties have disparate interests. They have different focus, and counties need the same representation as states need in the federal system. And so you need to amend the Constitution to clearly state that so that the bench, like, what was that case, Reynolds v. Sims, where the federal court tries to step in and say, now you don't have to recognize counties. Put it in your Constitution. The counties are to be represented, and the representation for the counties will be the senator, and that each county is guaranteed at least one representative for the people. And in so doing, this can help you lower the headcount requirement for representation. I'm okay with equal representation. A county shouldn't have superior, you know, because you're a small county. Let's say you have 10,000 people. Okay, well, then if you have 10,000 people and you have a guaranteed one representative for that 10,000 people, then make it possible so that your representative in other counties are basically representing 10,000 people. Now, look at New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a very small state, and they have 400 representatives so that that little state can have what they believe is a fair and appropriate representation of the people. Some of these bigger states, you need to have larger. And you know what? Just because your huge Capitol building can't accommodate 700 representatives, it doesn't mean that they have to physically sit there. You've got county offices, start spreading the wealth, and let these representatives start having, you know, satellite offices so that they can kind of go to work and have focus. Because I get it, it's not the same working at home. It's too easy to get caught up in the distractions. And when you're working in legislation and so forth, it needs to be done, you know, where you're all either working together, and there needs to be some real virtualization of these meetings so that, you know, you're not just talking during, you know, debates or what have you. You have, you know, open access, because there's a big difference when you're there in person, because you can walk up to somebody and tap them on the shoulder. You should be able to have the same direct access to everybody. And if you can't do that, then you probably need to actually have points in time of the legislative session where everybody's there. There may not be a seat, put them in a different venue. But bottom line, the people deserve fair and appropriate representation for a Republican form of government. You got to remember, in the Constitutional Convention, they had, I believe, 40,000. It was 40,000 that was dictated in the Constitution until right before the Constitution was ratified, or I should say signed by the convention. And I think it was the day before or the day of, one of the gentlemen came up and said, I would really like to see this 40,000 requirement go down to 30. I think we'd be able to sell it a lot better, and I believe states would feel they would have better representation. Well, okay. So Washington speaks up and says, I completely agree. And this was one of the very few times Washington injected and said, he found it hard to fathom how anyone could be better represented or fairly represented. And I'm paraphrasing, but he felt that the lower the number of representation, the better odds are that everybody's voice can be heard by the representative instead of, you know, a million people. Because no way your representative can actually hear what you're saying. These guys are only going to listen to those who have the deeper pockets. We have to move it down to a level of representation where it equals puts everybody on the same playing field. Now, there's always going to be the affluent that will seem to have that bigger weight, but if that affluent person can't buy the votes in a small legislative district, which is really hard to do because most people want their representation and they don't allow, you know, that purchasing of their representation in those types of small races. And this is indemnified. Or actually, not indemnified. This is This is galvanized when one looks at us. That's the word I was thinking of. This is galvanized in these small states like Wyoming and Montana and so forth. It's easy for just somebody to pop in without any experience and unseat somebody. And so we just want you to understand that one of the things that you need to look at in your state constitutional convention is representation. The amendment process is another one. Every state has a democracy or mob rule as the mechanism or mode for changing the constitution, and they need to get away from that, because what this does is it allows population centers to run the state into the ground, like requiring a majority of counties, like two-thirds of all counties. You must have an acquiescence or a majority vote from two-thirds of the counties to be able to change the Constitution. Now you have a barrier and protection to keep from a mob rule situation. I would also recommend that the state look at their Constitution in utilizing an electoral college to vote for their governor and get away from those with affluence. More importantly, because those with affluence will buy the governor's seat, they'll buy themselves advantages. More importantly, though, you can change election financing. Have your state legislators change their election financing not to allow money from outside the region of the election. So if it's a town, if it's a mayor, city hall, or county commissioner, the money that is contributed and spent on ads, whether it be radio or what have you, those ads can only be done from money that was earned within that respective district or respective race. What that means is if you have a Walmart, if you have a Best Buy or what have you, because, see, Walmart has deep pockets that they can go back to corporate and say, we need a few million dollars. Well, and not that Walmart doesn't have, that money, but even a local Walmart may have a lot of money, but bottom line, you have to make them prove. In other words, you have to make them come up with the paperwork that proves that the money they're giving you is coming out of their tills, not transferred back, but these are current profits coming from that store. They can't be fed back from the corporate or a neighboring county, a neighboring state. This keeps money that is local, and it keeps others from California, Hollywood, those types of things, or even conservatives like the Koch brothers from coming in and making sure that they can pay for their rhino to get into an office like a Senate seat or what have you. If you want fair finance reform for campaigns, make it so that money must come from within that district. Do you realize that every senator race in the United States Congress, every senator race is paid for by globalist money, and most of those globalists have no presence in most of those states, and we allow them to buy these elections? Well, as they say, in America, we have, we have the best government money can buy. I believe that's the saying. Anyway, but we need to go and we need to start considering these types of things. There is so much more, but I don't want to place the cart in front of the horse. In other words, I don't want to necessarily identify all the things that we have to fix in the state, because the state's got a lot of problems, but they pale in comparison to the general government. I mean, what is going to devastate the world is the falling of America, not the falling of your state. If America falls, every state in America falls with it, and there are going to be many countries that will fall with it as well. So what we have to do is we have to get federal compliance to the Constitution first by the federal government, right? We've got to get them in compliance. And to do this, this is what I always say, and I say this ad nauseum, that we must unite on the Constitution. And to do this, well, I'll get into that when we come back. And then we'll start, focusing and honing in on, the argument regarding the Constitution and the Convention of States argument and so forth. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we were just stating, if we're going to save the Constitution, if we're going to save our liberty, our republic, our culture, there's so much on the line. If we're going to do this, it's not about, you know, beating the Convention of States. It's not about, you know, stopping, you know, these mandatory vaccinations. It is about getting the federal government into full compliance, period. Because if you fight one little tentacle of this problem, because the problem is non-compliance, and if you're out fighting school, Common Core, you are a part of the problem, because that is not the problem. Common Core, abortion, these are not the problem. The problem is the federal government is outside the boundaries of the Constitution in almost everything that they're doing. And holding them accountable to full compliance fixes everybody's problem. So to do this, we have to unite on the Constitution. To do this, we have to put aside our differences. And you know what? Because I was just recently told that I was burning bridges because I didn't think the way somebody else thought. And I don't know if that person understands that they're the ones holding the match to say, if you want to come to this side and be in an alliance with me, you have to think the way I do. And we only differ on one thing. And the one thing that we strongly differ on is the word runaway. And I'll get into that. But it's pathetic that we have people with such hostility and such contention that we still can't put aside those differences and become strong allies. Because I don't believe anybody will argue with me that our number one problem is federal government overreach. Guess what? If we start taking on federal government overreach and force the federal government into compliance, what happens to Meckler and the Convention of States argument? What's the need for a constitutional convention? Oh, well, shoot, that actually solves the problem. Oh, no, it's better that we have work to do every year to fight these guys. Are you kidding me? Anyway, you see, there's always a different view as we walk around the woodshed and look at each side from different perspectives. What we also have to do is put aside our self-interest and even our organizational interest. So again, I'm going to repeat this. There's two critical things that have to be done if we're going to unite. We have to put aside our differences and our self-interest and even our organizational interest. You know what? You may have to get a job, because if you're making money off of the goose that lays the golden egg, in other words, you're making money off of the problem, and that's the only way you're putting bread on the table, you've got to get another job. And if your organization says, our focus is the relevance of our organization because we must survive, then what you're dealing with is an organization that puts itself over our Constitution and our liberty, period. And it's the same thing with the party. So it's time we put the Constitution and our liberty over party or anything else. And I want to invite you, if you really want to put your faith in the, you know, in the Constitution, in a political aspect, because there are political and there are activist aspects. I and the organizations that we are working with is like the NLA and We the People Foundation, the Constitution Association. We work with Freedom Force International with G. Edward Griffin and so forth. I mean, there's all sorts of things I want to do with him, but it's just this is taking up all my time. Fact of the matter is, my friends, is that the Constitution Party is all about full compliance. I haven't been told yet that, you know, they oppose. As a matter of fact, almost every state president, or I should say state chair of the Constitution Party, has basically said, we completely agree with what you're doing. And so, and that's good, but more importantly, we need you to get involved so that we can fine-tune, not that the Constitution Party has lots of problems, it is the best situated party, I'm telling you. The only thing is that when they created the party, they had the typical party paradigm, which makes it a laissez-faire party where they don't hold accountable those people who they elect. You know what? If you want, and 62% of people in America want a viable third party. If you want to really make a very competitive, viable third party, you can make it by just basically stating that if your politician that wears your brand that violates the Constitution, then you as a party will go after them regarding Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and have them removed and replaced with somebody who will comply to their oath of office and the Constitution. Wow! That's a huge game changer. The reason why the Republicans and Democrats have a laissez-faire party is because they don't want the grassroots interest hindering them from being able to do the globalist agenda that these people, they want to influence in doing. This is why we see the globalist agenda down at the states where they're taking away your water rights. Republicans are taking away your water rights. Why? Because that's the Agenda 2030. And lobbyists are convincing these Republicans that they can do whatever they want and not hold them accountable to their platform or their oath of office. The Constitution Party can actually do that. I mean, they're in a better situation to make those changes. And I see them as those with open arms to improve their bylaws, to improve their platform, to be very, very, because they are focused on the Constitution, unlike any other party. If Trump created a party, if there was a patriotic party or a Tea Party today, I am telling you it would be a waste of time. And I say that without, you know, reservation, because the focus of the party will have nothing to do with focusing on the Constitution. It'll be focused on Trump. It'll be focused on how they want to create these labels of conservatism. Folks, haven't we learned our lesson with the Tea Party? The Tea Party was, I don't want to say a symptom, It was a byproduct of the environment. People's and their frustration with government overreach, it was just insurmountable. I mean, people just felt so fed up. They said, we got to do something. So they went off and created the Tea Party instead of joining the Constitution Party. They forgot that in 1991, people on the principle of the Constitution stepped away and said, you know what, we do not recognize this Republican Party. And so you have to start looking at what we're doing and what you're doing. Are you actually willing to put aside your differences and your self-interest? If you're going in to say, I've got to make money on this, I'm going to try to, and I've had plenty of people. I actually met a person at a Constitution Party meeting once, and the person said, hey, you know, I'd like to become a radio host, and I want to be able to, you know, make money at this. And I said, okay, well, I mean, I don't want to make money at this. That's why I'm not paid by Ad Local. I'm not paid by any of the promos that we do. The good Lord has blessed me to be in this position where I'm able to do this. And so I don't think it would be right, and nor would it be the moral thing to do, to try to use this position. I mean, where would we be if Madison, you know, his focus was making money and, you know, taking care of his family instead of preserving liberty for our posterity? Same thing with Washington. These great, honorable, noble men, where would we be without them? And we need that type of paradigm. We need that type of men and women today to actually put aside their differences and their self-interests and their organizational interests and actually really start focusing on the political system and the party and break away from that, the elephant in the room. This is why I've been railing on groups who have been casting an incorrect light on the Constitution over the course of a long time. I've gone after the Sovereign Citizens Movement, who calls the Constitution illegitimate. I've gone after these other small little facets and groups here and there that want to get back to the Articles of Confederation and fix those the way the Articles of Confederation were. I don't think people understand, and I'm going to kind of, you know, just jump out here and say this. The Articles of Confederation for a perpetual union were flawed. However, when we look at the connotation that the 1787 convention was a runaway convention, there's only one reason that that paradigm is used. It is used in a counter-argument for the Convention of States. I dare anybody to go to Hillsdale or any other place that teaches the Constitution, a fundamental class on the Constitution, and I'll bet you anything that they don't start off and say, well, the Constitution was a runaway convention, and prove the fact that it was illegitimate. Because it wasn't. And I'll get into that. The motives of casting this light. We're going to start over from where we just basically talked about the casting of the negative light in our next episode. This is important, folks. These are paradigms that must be built and sustained. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.